to Outview Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, our guests are Jenny Wilkes and Lee Krishmore.
Jenny grew up here in Sonoma County with three older brothers, two of which are also gay. Jenny is a paralegal and is also working on a children's book and series called Iggy, which introduces mindfulness and awareness to upcoming generations. Jenny likes to play the piano and sing with friends, play pickleball, walk, kayak, and spend quality time with family and friends. Hello, Jenny.
Hello, ladies. Thanks for having us.
Lee received her BS degree in computer science in 1986 at 21 years of age. She returned to school for her master's degree from Claremont Graduate University, which she received in 1999. She had a successful career in IT and worked primarily in a male-dominated world that she navigated well. Lee retired at age 55 as chief information officer from Sonoma State University. She loves to ride her electric bike, kayak, and play pickleball. She enjoys going to wineries and tasting red wines from our region. In 2017, Lee bought a small RV and loves to hit the road and explore nature. Hello, Lee.
Hi, thank you for having us on your radio station. And we're very impressed with your outreach to our community. Thank you.
Thank you. So happy to have you both, too.
We're really looking forward to speaking with you both. But before that, here's news and events with our Outbeat member and our engineer,
Greg Moralia.
I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio news for the week of February 4th, 2023. New research from the Williams Institute at UCLA released last week finds that 9 out of 10, or 88%, of LGBTQ+ Florida parents surveyed are concerned about the impact of the state's Don't Say Gay bill on their children, and they're thinking about leaving the state. Parents cited concerns that the bill would restrict them from speaking freely about their families and could affect their children's sense of self and sense of safety. As a result, 56% of the parents have considered moving out of the state, and 17% have already taken steps to do so. On March 28, 2022, the Florida legislature passed House Bill 1557, known as the Parental Rights and Education Bill, and also named the Don't Say Gay Bill. The bill prohibits classroom instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity before the fourth grade, and any instruction after that must be, quote, age-appropriate or developmentally appropriate, end quote. Almost one quarter of the respondents said they feared harassment by neighbors because of their sexual orientation or gender identity or expression, and 21% said they'd been less out in their neighborhood, workplace, or community. The study also found that 13% of LGBTQ+ parents said that their children had expressed fears about living in the state. Abby Goldberg, a professor of psychology at Clark University, said, quote, legislation can have a negative impact on LGBTQ+ parent families by cultivating a climate of fear and insecurity. For LGBTQ+ parents without the means to move or send their children to private schools, the stress that legislation creates will be significant, end quote. And last Monday, the Human Rights Campaign issued a statement rebuking Utah Governor Spencer Cox for signing Senate Bill 16, a law that will effectively ban the provision of gender-affirming care for transgender parents under the age of 18. Utah Senate Bill 16 is the first anti-LGBTQ+ bill to be signed into law in 2023. Last year alone, 344 anti-LGBTQ+ bills were introduced across 23 different states, and more than 25 were enacted in 13 states, 17 of which have a disproportionate or targeted impact on transgender people. Utah's law is one of many dangerous efforts far-right political extremists and national anti-LGBTQ+ organizations are launching in Utah and in other states targeting transgender youth and their families. According to the Human Rights Campaign, every credible medical organization representing over 1.3 million doctors in the U.S. calls for age-appropriate gender-affirming care for transgender and non-binary people. Gender transition is very much a personal choice, and therapists, parents, and healthcare providers work together to determine which changes would be best for a child. In most cases, this is entirely social, which could include changing a name, hairstyle, clothing, none of which is irreversible. A recent study from the Trevor Project provides data supporting that transgender youth with access to gender-affirming hormone therapy have lower rates of depression and a lower rate of suicide. And back in the state of Florida, two neighboring LGBTQ plus bars were attacked last week in what police are investigating as a hate crime in the city of Orlando. This is the same city where in 2016 the Pulse nightclub mass shooting took place. The two bars, named District 1 and Southern Craft, had their windows destroyed in the middle of the night. Security footage captured a hooded person walking near the windows before they were shattered. No patrons or employees were present, and the bars were closed. Orlando police are actively investigating the case as a hate crime. And according to the Bay Area Reporter, the United States Food and Drug Administration released a new draft blood donation guidance last week that would allow gay and bisexual men in a sexually monogamous relationship to donate blood. The FDA's hardline ban on men who have sex with men from donating blood has crumbled in recent years. The initial rule, promulgated in 1983 during the early stages of the AIDS epidemic, was a lifetime ban on any man who had ever had sex with a man after 1977. Current technology to screen blood samples for HIV, that's the virus that causes AIDS, has rendered a blanket ban obsolete. The policy does include a continued prohibition for people who are HIV negative but are taking pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP. They will still be banned from donating blood under the new policy. For a calendar of LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia.
The world, but I don't know what to do. If you just joined us, we are talking with Ginny Wilkes and Lee Krishmar, and they've been together for 1 year and 9 months. And that's why we're having them on, because they found love later in life. And we're going to talk to them now about that and their things in their introduction that we have questions about. So it's going to be a really great show, everybody. We want to thank you both for taking time out of your busy schedules to join us tonight. So thank you. So Ginny, let's start with you. You talked about your older brothers and two of them were gay. And it's like, that just got my eyes like popped, like three siblings gay. That's unheard of. So tell us about that.
Yeah, not exactly traditional, but grew up here in Sonoma County in conservative area and, you know, in the 60s, 70s. And so it was an interesting experience, to say the least. And I didn't realize that I was gay until, you know, later high school years. And I fought it a lot. And then when I found out one of my brothers was gay, I mean, I realized the homophobia that I had within myself and the judgment that I had, you know. And so that was an interesting experience to work through that, and especially with what I was going through. So then I got more comfortable with it and comfortable with myself, and started to come out a little bit. And then I found out my other brother was gay. So then I remember exactly what I said to myself. I said, well, now I can't be. Because that would just be too much for mom and dad, you know, and the family. And that's just, this is crazy. What's going on? What's in the water? You know, what they do to us? You know, so that set me back as far as my own outing experience. But in the end, couldn't have worked out better. My parents, you know, with a little time, and they've been wonderful. And now it's a wonderful family unit. Everybody is allowed to be themselves. And my parents actually ended up being very involved with the PFLAG, Parents and Families of Lesbian and Gays. And so proud of them for that. So proud of them for many reasons through their journey, because it wasn't easy for them at first. Absolutely. So all is well that ends well.
Wow. Yeah. Yes. I can't imagine being a parent and having three of my kids gay. Like when you mentioned, you know, what did we do wrong? It's like, I don't know, maybe things are changing. So it's, we know your parents and they seem like such nice, wonderful people. I mean, to party with their daughter and her partner over the holidays, just, it was a really wonderful time to spend with them.
Yeah. I'm so blessed now to have a relationship the way it is with my parents and the whole family. Because there was a time when I thought I had to choose, you know, between how I wanted to live and my parents. I never imagined it would to be this communal and loving. So I'm blessed.
Yeah, that's beautiful. We hear stories all the times where that's not the case.
I know. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. So parents can change. So they changed.
Yeah, they're wonderful. They're lovely.
Yeah, they wanted to be in relationships. So that's a good thing. So Lee, Jenny's talking about her coming out. What about you?
Yeah, so I think coming out stories are important for our community, and they come in all different flavors. And I got to say, I think that in general, mine was a pretty easy coming out. I fell in love with my fifth grade elementary teacher, and she just got her teaching credential. And I knew that the feelings that I had inside of me were special. It was an older woman, and I knew enough to not talk about it. And that it was different. And that's about the extent of the feelings that I had. That feeling never went away. So I felt very sure that I was a lesbian. I can remember in 10th grade high school being in a health class, and they talked about homosexuality and that word. And I remember feeling my face flush red and was... probably the best word I could use for that moment was horrified. And I felt like everybody in class could see that I was the homosexual in there. And I remember feeling shame and fear, but in school I was popular and didn't have any kind of bullying going on. I had a lot of friends, very diverse friends. But again, I didn't feel like I could just shout out from the rooftops that I was a lesbian. I didn't deny it to myself, but I didn't feel open enough at that particular time to share it with other people. I had very, very close friendships with friends and women from all of my years that I could remember, very, very close friendships. And I actually lived with my first girlfriend when I was 19 years old. And we were not out to either sets of our parents, but they knew full well what was going on in the house. We didn't hide the way we lived. We didn't hide that we shared a bedroom. We didn't hide ourselves, but we didn't verbalize it. It took me until I was 20, probably 21, to come out to my parents. I came out to my mother first and my father second. I felt like they would both accept it, but I felt like I didn't want to disappoint my dad in a way. And so it was much harder. I held him in such esteem that it was harder to come out to him. But when I did, I said, you know, I'm a lesbian and I feel like, you know, that's how I want to live. And he goes, that's the lifestyle you want? And I, you know, kind of told him, well, not necessarily do I want it. It's just the reality that I'm in and I don't see any other way. And he goes, okay. And that was that. He gave me a big hug and he just said, okay. And it was very matter of fact. They knew, my parents knew. It was just a matter of me really needing to have that verbalization around it rather than just living a free life. I wanted to speak about my freedom and my sexuality and my partner in a much more intimate way. And so I did that early on.
Wow, powerful story.
What about your mom?
My mom was a little bit out and loud, and that's why I didn't come out to her at first, because I knew my mom well enough in her personality that no matter what I did, she was going to love me and be proud of me, but I wasn't ready for her to tell everyone. And that's what I had to come to terms with, because my mom was so proud of me and never showed anything but. So when I came out to my mom, I knew I had to be prepared to come out to my entire family. And that meant aunts, uncles, cousins, grandma, everybody, because my mom was not about to let me hide. And so I wasn't afraid to come out to my mom. I was afraid to come out to every single person in my family, which I knew was a consequence because she was not the kind of person to silence.
Very interesting. So when you were ready for the family to know, that's when you told your mom.
Correct.
Wow. And is that what happened?
It was very much what happened. And I can remember early on being in line at a grocery store with a people behind us made a snide remark about gays. And my mom turns around and says, "My daughter's a lesbian and I'm proud of her. And I don't appreciate the way you're speaking about queers," and, you know, and confronted random strangers in the grocery store. And I knew that was going to be the environment while I was with her. And that took some courage, I will admit.
Were you there in line with her?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, so how was that for you?
I turned bright red. And, you know, I'm a shy, introverted person. But when you have an extrovert, proud mother, that comes with, I don't know, I had to swallow sometimes my own shyness and wanting to be a little bit more of the wallflower.
What a proud mom, though. I mean, we need moms like that, really, you know, to just fight for us and stand up for us. Jenny, I'm knowing this is a new relationship. I'm just curious about how you were impacted by Lee's story. I don't know how much you've heard.
Yeah, I haven't heard the grocery store story, and that was a pretty cool story. But yeah, I've heard the rest, and it's really interesting. You know, like Lee said, everybody has their stories and journeys and different flavors, and very interesting. I go back to how we were brought up, and, you know, I grew up in the Episcopal Church, and it's very liberal church, but still it was really important to me, the church and the teachings. And so I had a hard time with that. We never heard anything about homosexuality. It was very open as far as, you know, a very inclusive community in church, very socially liberal. But I struggled with, you know, my own coming out because of the confusion that I had about, you know, the Bible and what the Bible said and all that. And Lee had a different experience, and she didn't have that cloud, thankfully, over her, you know. And everybody has different experiences religiously and spiritually. But that's something that probably held me back, got over that eventually. But yes, I love to hear Lee's stories because I think, wow, 15, 19, 20, really?
Remind me, how old were you when you came out, Jenny?
Mid-20s, probably. Yeah, 23, 24-ish.
And you told your parents?
Yeah, it was hard at first, but eventually, it took a couple of years. And then when I got into a relationship with somebody, then that changes everything. I was proud of that and happy and wanted to share her and my family. And my parents, they liked her and welcomed her and included her. And eventually it all smoothed out. You know, I think they, like you said, Diana, they chose relationship over being disappointed or judging or not inclusive with their own children. So thankfully. But yes, I love to hear Lee's stories because they're very different than mine. Yeah.
So, Jenny, you also in the interview talked about the book and a series that you're working on. And would you talk to us about that?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for asking. I'm working on a book and a series, whether it be TV or web series, not sure yet. It's based on teaching kids, I call it tools of the heart, you know, teaching them from the beginning, preschool and then in early elementary, tools of mindfulness and awareness to help them navigate the stresses of life. You know, life is, as we know, it's not guaranteed to be problem-free. It's the opposite. And so we'll have to have tools to get over those mountains and get over those challenges because they're going to come. There's, you know, it's easy to be happy when things are good, but when challenges come, you know, we need those tools. So that's what I'm working on now. It's called Iggy. It's teaching kids to listen to their gut, to pause, to listen, and to trust. And they go into an awareness forest that they discover. It's across the street from their school. And there they find friends in the trees and in the forest, friends of animals that teach them all different lessons. And then they'll take it back to the schoolyard and to home and school bus and all those places where they put it into practice. So it's been fun.
So what's your connection? I'm curious. That sounds beautiful. What's your connection to mindfulness and psychology in that way?
I remember my mom introducing me to a meditation cassette tape that tells you about the era that she had discovered. And I really enjoyed it. You know, just a pause, you know, we don't pause enough. And when we finally do, boy, it really made a difference. And I can't say that I had practiced meditation throughout all that time. I think I was a teenager. And then probably in my early 30s, mid 30s. Then I got introduced to more meditation practices and went out to Spirit Rock a few times out in Marin and just reading and just wanting to find peace within myself. That journey and that search led me to those tools of pausing and listening. And, you know, there's a lot of good books and therapists and out there, but I think if we just pause and listen to our own gut, there's a lot of wisdom there. So would have loved to have known that when I was when I was a child. So everybody has their journey. My goal is to teach that to the kids so they can, you know, just plant seeds in their minds, their fresh little minds for their journeys.
It's beautiful. I love it. Good for you. I love when we learn stuff throughout our own childhood and our own lives that we can pass on to the next generation or to others. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes it a more meaningful experience. And, you know, especially as we get older, to have something to pass on. And so... Like you all are doing.
Thank you. So Lee, I'm curious to know more about the IT world and being male dominated and how did you survive that experience?
I survived it by being the smartest and most tenacious person in the room. I think that there's a lot of truth to that. I found that women in the industry had to be better than their counterparts, and I didn't fight that. I just embraced it. And I was quite young when I got my first job. I had gotten my degree at 21. And the truth is, I probably looked about 17. And then I got thrown into a situation where some of the men that I was overseeing were in their 50s. And here I was, a very, very young woman. And the truth was, just being a solid leader, having leadership skills and the mental astuteness necessary to carry out the tasks at hand. Every time I walked into a room and met somebody new, I knew it was going to take some time for them to understand what I was bringing to the table. And so I was very patient with that. There was a saying my dad gave me when I was very young, and to this day I live by it. And it is, do your best and forget the rest. And if you go into a task, whatever that task is, and you just do your best, especially when you've got good, solid skills, it's going to be okay. And I just trusted that. And I forged along with a lot of tenacity. And I just made sure every project I touched, I contributed very heavily to. And when people needed help, I was there. Didn't matter who or when. And it set me up for a very successful year, you know, many years in many different shops, in many different groups, in many different projects and situations. I just did my best and let all the politics fall to the side.
As you were talking, Lee, I got this image of you, this little bulldozer. When you walked through the door, I just felt like nobody's going to interrupt you or mess with you. For some reason, I just got that image and I just wanted to share it. None of the guys challenged you at all, that you had to confront them somehow?
You know, I'm not afraid to go chest to chest with a grown person. Let's talk a little bit about my Jewish background. I grew up in a Reform Jewish synagogue in a very Jewish family, was very involved with that community. Got my bat mitzvah at 12 and really embraced that traditions that are surrounded that religion. And respectful, honorable debates is a big part of it in my family as well. And so as a very young child, I was allowed to have solid debates with not just my parents, but other people in my family. And I was by far the baby. So I was just young. And I think that gave me permission to speak my mind, not in a confrontational way, but a solid, respectful way, to listen to other people and to share my own opinions. And I had them at a very young age. And so I think that background sure helped. And my parents were always willing to listen to me. And then we would have a conversation and they made the final decision and I was okay with that. And throughout my career, I typically had, you know, somebody above me that was my superior. And I felt as though I could speak my mind, be honest. And then when they made a decision, I would hop on board and get behind it and make it happen. And that led to a lot of very positive relationships. Now, did I have challenges? Absolutely. but I didn't spend a lot of time and energy on them. I did not show fear when I led people because I wasn't afraid. And when people confronted me, I usually had a better verbal reason for what I was doing and why I was doing it. You know, I can read a room, I can read a human being, and I wouldn't let it escalate to a point where people were really angry, right? And so if you tamper things before they really get out of control, you know, I wasn't afraid to bring somebody in and say, look, I kind of am getting this feeling like there's some tension in the room. Is there something you want to talk about? And then it just allows that conversation to happen in a more respectful way. And then when you just deal with those small things, they don't elevate to the big things. And I think that's really what's made Ginny and I's relationship strong, even though it hasn't been that long where we haven't had enough opportunities to really debate our differences. But we do so in a really respectful way. And because we do have a basic respect and care for each other, it allows us to have a conversation about this third entity that we're having. So it's not personal. It's not me. It's not her. It's an entity or a situation that we're discussing that's outside of us, who we are as individuals.
Wow, I love that story. I love how you commanded the situation and you trusted yourself and the experiences with your family and being able to have your opinion. Oh my gosh, this is so refreshing. I mean, we don't hear much of that. I don't hear much of that. And I'm a psychotherapist in the room with other people and their experiences. I didn't have that. I would have loved to have had my opinions heard or elicited from me. I mean, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that experience and the way you handled your work situation. So I hope the listeners can take something from what you're sharing, Lee.
Yeah, it was a beautiful relationship that I had with my father, and a lot of my beliefs really stem from my discussions with him. And the interesting thing, I'm the youngest of five. My experience with my father was very different than that of my siblings. He worked a lot. And so by the time I came, my father was really retired and he had a lot of time for me. And we had a heart connection that was very strong and we enjoyed spending time together. And the respect between us came at a very, very young age. I can remember back to second, third, fourth grade where he really cared about my opinion. And so it wasn't lip service when he said, well, what do you think? What do you want to do? Even when I decided to get my degree in IT, he said, well, what are you going to do with that? And I said, I don't know, I'll probably go into banking or something. And he goes, okay. And he was really kind of that person of that you need to figure your path. And he didn't bulldoze me down and tell me what he wanted me to be. He really asked me, what is it? And how do you see yourself making a living?
I love how you bring that experience to your relationship, your new relationship here with Ginny, and how you navigate conversation. And we really want to get into how you met and how you do that dance, because mm-hmm. that's a difficult dance for couples, mm-hmm. and especially couples who join together in later in life, like you both are later in life. I would say that, but I'm not talking about your age though, but you're not
our experience.
Yeah. You're not spring chickens, but.
So we're going to get to that after our break. So everyone will stay tuned for the episode to continue as far as how you all met and your life together. So anyway, you brought a song and we'd like you to introduce the song and then we're going to play the song. Who wants to go?
I'll start with that. This is a cute story because Ginny and I met each other in June.
June of what year?
21. And I had concert tickets to a performer named LP. She's not super popular. And the dates had been rescheduled due to COVID. And the tickets were not until May of the following year. And it was very short. I mean, we only had a couple of dates. And I asked her if she would go with me to that concert of LP the following May. And she said, whoa, I guess you like me.
I said that in my inside voice. So.
And LP had a song that the title of the song is Goodbye, which is kind of funny for a newly forming couple. But part of the lyrics of the song, the chorus is goodbye to less than goodbye. Goodbye to wasting more time. To all of the darkness where there should be light. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. And so the words in the song are beautiful. Not all of it directly relates to us, but the tone and the theme and the voice and the music is just so beautiful. And we do both enjoy listening to it. So LP, goodbye.
Just listen to LP singing goodbye. And Jenny and Lee, you have named this song something else for yourselves. You've named it
Hello Tomorrow. You know, it's funny because to me, it's just a more positive take on the same connotation.
Yeah. Hello Tomorrow. Nice. So we get to know about the journey from June to May and May to now. So you both enjoyed the concert, obviously.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. From A to Z. It's wonderful. Her voice is so unique, and she's a trained opera, I think, and she's popular in Europe. And what was so stunning about her concert was that her voice is that you hear with the songs on the computer or radio are the same. Her voice is the same in concert, and just an incredible talent. I encourage everybody to look it up.
And Ginny has such a strong music background and love for it. And it was just a pleasure of mine to be able to go to somebody who I've been familiar with and loved and share that with her, to watch her experience it live, because the quality of the musicians are just, I mean, they literally give you chills. Her voice is unlike anyone else.
Well, thank you for bringing LP to us and to the world. We appreciate that. And she has a gorgeous voice, and we're happy to have been introduced to her by you guys. So let's talk about how you met and your relationship now that we've got to know you a little bit in your other lives. What about your life together? So why don't you tell everybody how you met, when you met, and what was the spark? How did it continue after you met? Jenny?
It all started one day. It was, it was 2021, so we're still in COVID and still laying low as far as socially. And I had actually been single for 5 years, just made a conscious attempt to work on myself. And that's a whole nother radio program. But anyway, so had many years just working on myself and just got to a place where I was very, very happy, very comfortable with myself. And I was good. I was good to go. I wasn't seeking anybody. If it happens, it happens. If it comes, it comes. But I was in a good place, which is probably the really reason that this has worked, that is working. But anyway, so I was in my living room and I got a text from my dear friend, Dr. Diana Greer. And said, "Hey, are you seeing anyone? I've got the perfect person for you." Wow, that's a statement. So anyway, Diana and Sheridan had known us individually and thought we might have some things in common and like each other, and invited us over for dinner. So that was very exciting. And I had, like I said, I had been single for a while, not even dating anybody for a very long time. And so let me just go have fun. Worst thing that can happen is I have a new friend and no expectations. Just went in with zero expectations. And of course, love you guys, so comfortable with you and trust you. And so then we went to dinner at your house and we went from there. There's more to that story, but I don't know if you wanted to.
Yeah, Lee, you do your part now.
Yeah, perspectives, right? Yeah. So she came in with no intention. And I came in with all of the intention in the world. So one beautiful afternoon, Diana, you and I were sitting around your fire pit, and my relationship had come to a close. And I said to you, "Surely you know somebody who would be a good fit for me." And Sheridan, you were in the house and you came out, and Diana queried you. She goes, "Maybe I do." And Diana asked Sheridan, "What about Ginny for Lee?" And I remember you cocking your head and taking a pause. And you said, "Yeah, maybe." And you both seemed to agree that the two of us would be a good fit for one another. I remember asking you, "Diana, what's she like?" And you said, "A lot like you." Now, I didn't ask for anything to be elaborated. I didn't really want to know too much. I didn't know what Ginny looked like. For some reason, I thought she was Japanese. I don't know where that came from in my mind, but I expected that. And maybe truthfully, I don't know. It was just a picture in my mind came in. Then I didn't Google, I didn't poke around or do any research. I just wanted to show up with an open heart to your home. And I tried to stay focused on that. I'm shy, so it's a little bit hard for me, but I believe in love. I believe it's one of the greatest gifts that we can not only give ourselves, but to give each other. And I had full intention on meeting a life partner. I didn't know it was Ginny when we walked across the room and shook hands. That's seriously what happened, because we're both kind of shy, introverted women. Well, Diana wouldn't have that. So we sat around the dinner table and got into some really solid conversation right away. And it has never changed, not a moment since then.
So, Jenny, I think you have some other stories about you didn't not poke around. You did some poking.
Oh, a little bit. I looked at Diana's Facebook. I saw that you had a couple of friends in Lee. And then I thought, you know what? Don't go there. I don't want to look, and I don't want to have any preconceived notions. And so I didn't. That's as far as I got. Yeah. So when we met that night, it was great, and I'm instantly attracted and loved her energy. And I remember sitting across the table from her, and you, Sheridan, were having an exchange with Lee, and I just saw how warm that Lee was, and how she looked at she was looking at you, this big smile with such a love and warmth behind it. And I could just see her energy and who she was. And I thought to myself, I can't wait till she looks at me like that.
Oh, really?
I remember thinking that. Yeah, I'm going to cry. And then Diana's sitting over there with the big grin on her face with her list of questions. And then we dove into those. And what are we looking for in another person? So it was fun.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
and then Cher and I, we were really like, okay, so what do you think, Cher? So we on the backside, like, what do you think? How do you think it's going to go? And we didn't hear anything from both of you for like 2 or 3 days. And so I had to check in, you know, I was so curious, like, how did it go? And then I hear that you've been bike riding, you took a walk together or whatever you were doing, but you were seeing each other. So go into that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the next day, I think I texted you, Diana, and, you know, said thank you. And I really had a good time. And I think that you, when you walked me out to the car and I gave you the okay to give her my number or something like that. I can't remember exactly how that transpired. But anyway, so we actually texted that the next afternoon and then had a nice text exchange for a few days and then saw each other. I think within a week, went for a hike and then dinner. And so it was super comfortable and wonderful from from the start.
Who called who first?
Ginny sent me a text and the following morning after our dinner together. And I replied with, Ginny who? Honestly, and it was a full joke because humor is important to me and I'm a little funny and I want somebody who gets me. Right. And it went over well.
What, how did she respond to Ginny who?
Just laughing.
Oh, just laughing.
Yeah. Just sharing the laugh. And I, of course I said, I'm completely kidding. When can I see you again?
Oh. So yeah, we spent a lot of time together and so having a lot of fun, having lots of fun. A lot of very similar interests, super compatible. We love a lot of the same foods and lifestyle. And so here we are. You guys did good.
Yay.
And I think from our early conversations, I was very intent on finding out if we were compatible in our living habits. Health is very important to me and when and what I eat is important and I love to cook and I really wanted somebody who shared in that passion. I love good wine and just sharing those sorts of things together was important to me. Being out in nature, having somebody to walk with, to bike with, to hike with, that was an animal lover, that had a good bond with their family. I mean, there were a lot of criteria that were important to me, but one of them that, you know, I could see Ginny took care of herself mentally, physically. Sleep was an important thing, which it is for me as well. And so all of the things that sort of share the thoughts within my own mind were compatible with the ones that were in hers. They were in alignment and that felt good. It felt like a good fit right from the start.
And you had mentioned about, finding love at a later age. And that is interesting because, you know, obviously we all bring to the table our experiences. But, you know, at a later age, and plus, like I said, I had been single for a long time. And so there was an adjustment, but an easier adjustment because of how compatible we were and how wonderful he is made it super easy. I was shocking myself because I do like my time alone and perfectly fine and happy with my situation then and was living alone. But it was so easy for me to make that transition. I was surprised at myself, but that showed me that how much I adored her and wanted to be with her. My life is so much more seasoned and it's the word I'm looking for. And
rich.
Rich. Thank you. It's rich, man. So it's been a wonderful experience. And I thank you both.
Yes, we are grateful that the two of you brought us together.
I'm so happy that it's working. Number one is what you talked about earlier, Lee, was the communication style, being able to not personalize the issue, but bring the issue out front and let's look at the issue, which is really powerful in that.
Yeah. And along those lines, when Ginny and I first started having deeper conversations, I feared this tendency in her to keep it all in and have the conversation in her own mind with herself rather than outwardly with me. And I expressed that very early on, that that fear was in my heart. And she heard me when I expressed it and made a conscious effort to bring those conversations from solo ones in her mind out so that we could share the conversation, because I think the stories are different than the ones we spin solo in our minds. And if we just get them out and let those words free, it frees the situation to me. And I needed that. I needed her to do that with me, because I feared those stories being misinterpreted on a solo basis. And I didn't want that to happen. I don't know that you can sustain the test of time with that.
Creating your own story. That is so true.
Yeah.
That's so helpful for me, because I had to change what I'd done in the past, you know, and this was somebody that I didn't want to repeat the same mistakes that I made before. And even though how hard it was, or it is still sometimes, you know, it's an innate instinct for me to just process and deal with stuff on my own. It's great. It's all the growth, even more growth every day. And I'm happy that Lee has helped me to get over some of those old habits that didn't, that weren't good for me and my old relationships. So I had to put all that I've learned too in the past, and then, you know, 5 years before meeting Lee, to put it to the test. And now it's time for the rubber to meet the road, so to speak. And how mindful and aware are you, Jenny? Let's see. Yeah, you got to put it to practice now, you know, not just sit in bed and read about it. So anyway, Lee has helped me very much to grow in many ways. And that's a beautiful part of our relationship.
And her family, Jenny's family, is a big part of her life. And getting to know and being invited into that family dynamic has been a very, very positive situation for me. I lost both of my parents. And so when I moved to Sonoma County, there's no family members that I have here. And so I didn't just get Jenny, but I got her family along with it. And that has been just a very, very touching experience for me. Sheridan, you're the first Jewish woman I met when I came up to this county. And so having you and other Jewish friends gives me a spiritual connection. And having Jenny's family and the acceptance that I feel from them has been just so incredible. I got a card for the holidays, a Hanukkah card from Jenny's mother. And she said, not only did Jenny fall in love with you, we fell in love with you too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to be able to have her family express how they feel is really awesome, because that's how I grew up. We expressed how we feel and who we loved. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know why our society wants to hide the love. It's a strange, peculiar custom that we have. And it, unfortunately, we lose some heart time there. So they've accepted me very, very deeply and honestly into the fold. It's been wonderful from a lot of angles. And to wrap it back around to Jenny having those thoughts in her own mind, you know, our family dynamics come into play. And now I get to see her dynamics, right? I get to see it firsthand. And the truth is, she grew up as the youngest and the female with four brothers and her two parents. And so I don't believe that she had quite the voice in her family. And her thoughts lived in her mind, and her story lived there. And I understand it, and I see why she doesn't always feel
compelled to communicate.
Yeah, and I want to give her the mic. I want to give her the moment. I care deeply in my heart how she feels. And I'm very curious about those thoughts that are up there spinning around. And I want to share them with her. I don't expect her to be perfect, because I'm not ever going to be perfect. And I would like to create an environment where we're both allowed to make mistakes and talk about them and move forward from them, not carry them into our future like baggage. And I think that I try to be mindful of that and create the environment, not just for her, but for me too. I want to be able to fail and change and move forward as a human being.
Beautiful to have that, to have this new relationship, and to be so sensitive to and aware of, I mean, I love what you said, Lee, about how you witness Jenny and her family. So you understand. So there's, you have patience with, you know, whatever, and you invite her to show up. It's beautiful. I love it. I love the connection that you have. And I love seeing you on Facebook with your family. It's like this family, Jenny, your family has just embraced Lee. And it's so beautiful to see all of you photographed together. When we were at the party for, what was that, New Year's?
Christmas Eve.
No, it's Christmas Eve party. I talked to your dad and your mom, Jenny, and they are so in love with Lee. I mean, I got to hear it. And your dad,
I mean, he was
like, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
She's a good one. Yeah. You know, she's a good one. I don't know what you've had before, but they love, they say Lee is a good one. I love Lee.
He's a good one. He's a keeper.
He was so proud when he was talking about you as a couple.
That's
so
nice to hear.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very fortunate in so many ways.
Well, and you know, I'm very mindful about how a father feels about their daughter. I mean, I want him to know that I have the capacity to take care of her and that I care and that, you know, she's important to me and that I think that there are certain things that a father would hope for in a partner for their daughter. And I would strive to be that person.
Yeah, I see it and I saw it and I heard it. And so, and mom too, Lucy was just, oh, you have women, you do things together just with your mom.
Yeah, the three of us, yeah, which is nice. Oh yeah, she couldn't love Lee anymore. And so it's really, it's a nice place to be where we have healthy dynamics there. And Lee is super understanding of the time with them and couldn't be happier.
So tell us about where you're at now, a year and 9 months later. Where are you in your living situation? Because before you were living separate. How did that come about that you're living together now?
Well, we, you know, obviously just we're so compatible and wanting to spend a lot of time together. And so we said we got to wait for a year. You know, it would just be too funny to do it before then. So we probably were a little bit before a year, but it was officially last May that I moved in to Lee's house, and it's been wonderful. It's been, like I said before, I'm shocked myself how, because I am so independent and like my time alone, I was shocked at how easy it was for me because I love spending time with her. I never get tired of being around her and never feel like I need some time alone. I don't feel that at all. We're so compatible in the way we like to live and our lifestyle. So it's amazingly smooth in my view. And I got two new chihuahuas. Never thought I'd have a chihuahua before, but here they are, and I love them and enjoy them.
Well, how long did it take them to cozy up to you or you to cozy up to them?
Oh, I love them right away because look at that, right on cue. But it took a little while, but not too long. I was around a lot, so they could see that I wasn't going to hurt them. It was a good one. So, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so we had, I had two chihuahuas, and Jeannie had a very large cat, Pete the cat, a 20-pounder, and my dogs are 8-pounders, but the dogs felt like they wanted to bully the cat because he's so passive and such a sweetheart, and so it took us quite a while for us to commingle our pets. Many couples later in life have to navigate situations like that. And we did really well. I ended up having to take Sid to a dog trainer to get some professional guidance because I couldn't get her to quit chasing the cat. And with some guidance, we were able to get over those hurdles. Jenny was willing to give up the cat, but I wasn't willing to have her give it up. You know, when we talked about it and she cried, it broke my heart. I just dug in and thought, I'm going to beat... Are you smarter than a chihuahua? That's what I told myself.
I wasn't willing to give up the cat to a stranger. My parents were willing to take him so I would be able to still be in his life because he is a special cat. But I wanted him to be here. But there was a time where I thought, well, you know, plan B isn't all that bad. He would go to my parents and they loved him and I would still be able to see him. But thankfully, it worked out and the chihuahuas came through and Lee spent some time and energy with Sid. And so it all worked out.
So now we can cohabitate peacefully and nobody's chasing nobody and it's all good.
Wonderful. Those are some beautiful stories that you have shared with us. And we so appreciate you coming on tonight
to be with us. And unfortunately, we do have to close our show now. So we always like to ask our guests for words of wisdom at the end of the show. What is it that you'd like people to know as we leave this evening? Lee, could you start?
Sure. What I would like people to know is it's never too late to fall in love. I don't care if you're 110. It's never too late. And it's the most beautiful thing to share your life with somebody. It just makes everything richer, including food, walks, mundane tasks like folding laundry and making the bed. You know, it just makes everything better. And I appreciate having a partner that's so sweet and loving. And to me, it's measured by the size of your heart, not anything else. And Ginny's got a big one.
Yeah, that's very sweet. Thank you. My parting words is to be open. Say yes. You know, the world can be overwhelming at times and not pleasant, but there's so much good in the world. And love is one of them. And nature is the other. And we share those things together. And just to be kind to each other, love each other, love ripples. And so love yourself and love each other.
And for all of those people in our LGBT community that don't think they deserve love, I'm here to tell you that is so untrue. Everybody deserves to be loved. And you got to start with loving yourself first. So please don't beat yourself up. Embrace who you are. Live out and proud.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And that's what we saw in both of you. Big open hearts. Such kind, generous people. And you found each other, and we are so pleased and so happy for you both.
Thank you. Thank you for being so, you're being such a great example and friend for us and for all you do for our community.
And beautiful role models. You know, if we could only live up to your the path you're walking, you know, we're so grateful that you're part of our journey.
Thank you so much, and blessings.
We want everyone to remember that just like Jenny and Lee, you too can be living proof that through healthy living and healthy communication and through sharing your authentic selves, it's never too late to find love. This is Diana and Sheridan, and we'll be back next month. Until then,
I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on can't stop me now, and you can do the same, yeah. What have you done today to make you feel proud? It's never too late to try. What have you done today to make you feel proud? Mm-hmm. You could be so many. So many answers, I don't know.
There are so many answers.
Realize that to question is how we grow.
To question is to grow.
So I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way, can't stop.
Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM comes from listeners and from Rocky, the free-range chicken, and Rosie, the original organic chicken. Air-chilled, non-GMO, locally raised right here in Sonoma County, with no antibiotics ever. More information is available at rockyandrosie.com. You're listening to 104.9 KRCB-FM Roanoke Park and KRCG-FM Windsor, Sonoma County's NPR station. It's 9 p.m. Stay with us. Beale Street Caravan is next.